Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Tinseltown Tragedies Uncut. This particular episode contains an uncut interview whose portions were included in the Who Killed Krista Helm episode of the series. In this episode, we speak with Jeremiah Newton, a gentleman who befriended Krista during her days in New York. Following her time in New York, Krista moved to L.A., and that's where she was viciously slain in 1977. You can hear the episode Who Killed Krista Helm in its entirety at our website at moviegeeksunited.net.
First of all, how did you come to meet Krista?
Well, I had a very good friend named Lenny Barron, and Lenny lived in a loft on Bond Street, which at the time was a very run-down area, right off the Bowery. And in this particular building, he rented a four-through loft, and he had a number of people living with him. And there were other artists living in the building. And he was friends with my friend Candy Darling. So we used to go to Lenny's house frequently because he had sort of a salon and people would come there. So I remember him mentioning the name of Krista Helm as being one of the principal investors in a Broadway play called Godspell, which made a lot of money, did very well for her, and how fabulous she was and how beautiful and how she had gotten a lot of work to her body, you know, a lot of, she had a lot of changes done to her face and her torso. So, I mean, that's how I first heard about her.
Could you tell me a little bit about Lenny, what he was like?
Lenny was great. Lenny was a costume clothing designer. He designed a dress that Judy Garland last got married in. And, in fact, she was buried in that dress. And he did, when he moved to California a few years later, he did costumes for, I think her name was Linda Carter. She did Wonder Woman. And he did a lot of costumes for movies. He was very clever. He could take a bolt of fabric and make a couturier gown, which he did. And he made quite a few dresses for Krista. And Krista had money, so she was able to pay Lenny for his services.
And she and Lenny were
older than us. He was older than us by 10, 15 years. And we always sort of looked at him as an adult. I mean, we were adults ourselves, but just that he was older than us.
Yeah. Well, Lenny was quite close to her, and I guess he must have moved to L.A. not long after she did.
Right, right. They both left around the same time. And it was sort of annoying because, you know, we were so used to having him here. And then all of a sudden, all his companions in this loft, they all moved to L.A. One of the people was a young man named Dennis, oh, gosh. There's a movie called Grease, and they call him Crater Face. He has a very bad...
Dennis Stewart.
Dennis Stewart, yeah. So Dennis moved out there, too. And this young man named Dennis David Dorman, who died very young. He drowned in a swimming pool in L.A. And but they were very handsome, and they were a lot of fun, you know. And all of a sudden, these people, this whole crowd, this whole scene was over, and it wasn't pleasant, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But what were your impressions of Krista once you got to know her?
Tough. She was tough. She was very beautiful, but she was tough. She was, I guess, a little older than I was. And she always seemed very preoccupied with things going on. There was always a lot of drama in her life. She had a little girl that she brought in once to meet everyone. And I thought, well, the little girl is about 4 or 5, I think. And I thought it's very curious that she's not with her child. The child was being raised by, I think, her mother or her sister in some other state far away. But Krista lived in this beautiful townhouse, one floor of a townhouse in the East 30s. And that was very beautifully done. A lot of crystal and nice, very nice lighting and acrylic furniture. It was very modern, you know, very
Yeah.
modern house. Oh, and it had a stereo that when you clapped your hands, the stereo would go on. That impressed me. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
Well, you said that you know, there was, you got the sense that there was a lot of drama in her life and she was preoccupied with things.
well, I heard
Did
stories. I heard that she was being kept by the Shah of Iran. And I heard she had, you know, nobody ever mentioned the word prostitute. But I heard she had boyfriends that were very generous to her. And she traveled a great deal. And she had a beautiful figure, you know, it's gorgeous. And as I said, she
Yeah.
had plastic surgery, so that was
Mm.
enhanced. Candy Darling used to say Krista couldn't stand by the radiator too long. She would melt. And she, and you know, she was interested in everybody, but again, she, I think she had a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things going on in her life that were not, that we were not, that I certainly wasn't privy to.
Yeah.
I certainly wasn't privy to.
Do you remember any specific conversations or what you had with her or things that you guys did together at all?
Well, she was very nice. I mean, we went to her apartment. She was a very generous hostess. And she was very kind and relaxed. And you never really saw her that relaxed. Usually she was a bundle of nerves. But she was very close with Lenny. And Lenny would roll his eyes sometimes and go, oh, you don't want to know about her. She's got so many things going on in her life. But apparently, she invested a small sum of money in Godspell, and Godspell did very good as a play, and she made millions of dollars. And I don't know if that's 100% true, but that was a pretty big play then. I mean, not, it wasn't South Pacific, but it was a popular play.
Yeah,
And,
yeah.
she, and she had beautiful clothes. You know, Lenny made her clothes, and she had very revealing clothes. I used to work for the Emmy Awards, and they were having a fundraiser thing in some hotel, and she, I asked her if she would like to come and pull some numbers out of the bag to announce the winners. So she came and she was wearing this beautiful outfit that Lenny made out of chamois. And of course, a chamois fits on your body perfectly. And she had beautiful, beautiful breasts. And the chamois just, it was really revealing. And the women, they hated her. Oh, they hated her. They just were cursing her behind her back. And I said, well, it's not her fault that she's beautiful, you know. So I have pictures somewhere of that drawing, and you could see the expressions on these women's faces. And they were so glad when she left, you know, that she didn't take any of their dumb husbands with her, which she certainly could have. The men were like all over her. They, because she really was, she had a, she had very curly hair and, pale lipstick, pale makeup. I mean, she was very unusual, very Scandinavian looking, you know, which I think was her ethnic background. I think she was from Milwaukee.
Was it apparent to you that she was very driven to kind of make it in the entertainment world?
Well, she had this movie that she wanted to produce called Go for Broke, and I had introduced her to two friends of mine, this guy Ken and his friend Peter, and they wanted to write, and they were able to get money out of her. I mean, he has no background, but they were obsessed with the play, with the screenplay, and they ended up moving in with Lenny Barron and trying to write this project, which I understand they filmed some of it, but not everything. Spy Thing, where she played a female James Bond.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
she wanted to do that. And then Lenny had a modeling agency called Oddities, and people like Viva and Ultraviolet and Candy and Gerard Malanga, they were all part of this agency. These were people who were very unusual looking and had their own sense of style. So Krista was in that too. But I don't think she needed the money. I think she just wanted to become part of it.
Yeah.
And I think she probably helped that.
Did you have any occasion to speak to her after she moved to LA?
No. But I tell you, the first couple of days before she moved to LA, I was on the Upper East Side, and she came out of a doorway of a building, and she practically went into me. She didn't even see me. She was weeping, but she was really upset. And she just bolted out of this door and up the block, And I thought, wow, I wonder what upset her. I had never seen her like that before, with that emotion. I never found out what happened. Well, it was none of my business, but I suppose if I had grabbed her or said, Krista, it's me, she may have talked to me, but perhaps not.
So
But I
that's the
never
last time
spoke
you
to
saw
her
her.
again. I never saw her again.
When you heard that she had been murdered, what were the first thoughts that occurred to you?
Oh, it's terrible. It's so sad. What a waste. Such a beautiful woman, being killed so brutally. And they never caught the killer, and her diaries disappeared, and all of this stuff, One doesn't know what really happened, except it was bad. And Lenny would never talk about it. Lenny refused to talk about it, except that her killers were still out there. And I never saw Lenny again either. One time we were supposed to meet in some hotel, and he never showed up for me. He slept or whatever. And I was annoyed with him. I said, I haven't seen you in 10 years. You could at least mark it down your calendar. But he didn't do that, And then, of course, when he died, that was very sad. But her being murdered like that, it didn't, it was very, very strange.
Did you have any idea that she kept a diary or a listing like
Oh,
she
she
kept?
did, yeah. I mean, Lenny told me about it. She had all this information about her clients in the diary. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, she was going out with Frankie Crocker, the black disc jockey. So she didn't make it in California as an actor. I mean, how can you? An actor is an actor. You study acting. She didn't study anything.
I get the sense that she wanted to be a celebrity more than she wanted to be an actor.
Well, you have to have, to be a celebrity, you have to have some depth. She didn't have that depth,
Yeah,
She
back
didn't
then you
have
had
that.
to, yeah. Back then, you definitely had to have some depth. It used to be that
Well,
you
she
actually had
wasn't
to have,
Liza Minnelli. She wasn't manic where you couldn't take your eyes off of her. She was pretty quiet, and you knew she was that she had a lot on her mind. But what it was, she didn't talk about. But
So in the conversations you had with Lenny, he refused to speak of her
he
after her
refused
murder?
to talk about her, except the whole event hurt him very much. And let sleeping dogs lie. And she had nothing to say about he had nothing to say about her murder. Of course, they never caught the person. It was front page news in New York City.
Yeah, I did. You got in touch with her daughter, didn't you, a couple of years
The
ago, or?
daughter got in touch with me. The daughter got in touch with me, and I mean, I don't have anything that belonged to the mother. I would certainly give it to her, but there's nothing, I don't have anything. I just have those negatives from the drawing, but I don't even know where they're here somewhere, but where I don't know. And,
Well, I wanted to ask you one other question. Your film that you produced about your best friend Candy Darling,
right.
is that available for purchase?
Yeah, you can purchase the film online. You just have to look it up. And it's
I will do that
available.
because I was reading about it today, and I really want to see it, and I feel awful that I
It's a
haven't seen
very
it
good
already.
film. It's a good film, and I wish Chris, there was more footage. I mean, there was no footage of Krista in it. No images of Krista. So I wish there was, but at the time when we got to her part in the story, there was nothing anywhere about her.
Did you get a sense of, maybe you already told me, so forgive me, but did you get a sense of what Candy thought of Krista?
Ah, that's interesting. Candy was very serious about her profession, and I think she felt that Krista wasn't, and Krista had everything, whereas Candy didn't have what Krista had. She borrowed a dress from Lenny once. Lenny told her not to wear it, but she wore it anyway, and it was a dress that belonged to Krista. That Lenny had, he was working on it, and that night at the party, Krista saw it on Candy and gave her a hard time. The next day, of course, Candy returned it.
Well, I have to tell you, I thank you so much for sharing the memories that you have of her. I was really
Well, I
anxious.
wish there was more. I wish there was more.
Well, I have nothing from that period of her life from first person experience. I needed you for the show. So I'm so glad that you agreed to
Yeah,
talk
no,
to
I'm
me.
glad. I mean, I hope they one day find who killed her and put her soul to rest. And the poor daughter, she, of course, can't find any kind of peace of mind until her mother is found, mother's killers are found. And it was very sad. I mean, the way she was ignominiously stabbed and then dumped under a car. Just, she was so beautiful, and she wasn't a bad person. She was capable of great kindness, and she did help people out a lot. She didn't help me out. There was really nothing I needed from her, but she did help out Lenny quite a lot. Lenny was very grateful to her. She gave him money and stuff, and I think probably she subsidized his move to LA.